We're currently running a contest to win a copy of Battlestar Galactica. To enter, all you have to do is fill out a short survey about the show, go to theboardgameworkshop.com, look for the show notes for this episode, episode 32, and click on the link to the survey. It's 5 questions about what you do and don't like about the show and what you would like to hear in the future. Make sure you fill out your contact info to be entered.
Welcome to the Board Game Workshop. I'm your host, Chris Anderson, and I am here with Sean and Brian, and we're going to do a pitch challenge today. First, introductions. Sean, welcome to the show. Tell our audience about yourself.
Hey, Chris. I'm Sean, and I'm part of a board game design collaborative called Flat Out Games. You might know us from Twitter, at Flat Out Games. And also, if you're in the Seattle area, that's where a couple of our collaborators live. And so we're very active in the Seattle board game design community. So we've probably seen you around a time or two.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. And Brian.
Yeah, I'm Brian at Scrapyard Armory on Twitter. I'm just a regular board game enthusiast and aspiring design amateur. I do a lot of design contests and, looking forward to the future. I don't have anything published yet, but we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Welcome to the show, or welcome back to the show. You've been on once before. Was that worker placement you were on?
Yes, it was. Worker placement.
All right. So, we're doing a pitch challenge. We're working off BoardGameizer.com, which gives you a random mechanic, theme, victory condition, and the option to use a constraint. Basically, I will throw those out there, and then we'll start with Sean. He'll have some time to think up an idea on the spot. It should be really tough, but amusing, hopefully. And then the three of us will just kind of workshop it, throw some ideas up there, and see what we can come up with. And then we'll all try it. So, Sean, are you ready for your board gameizer?
I am ready. Ready as I'm going to be.
Randomizing and, okay. Your mechanics are action programming and card drafting. The theme is futuristic. The victory is player elimination. And the constraint is must use meeples.
All right.
Whenever you're ready.
I'm glad I'm not going first.
I might need a second.
Take your time.
It's not a bad mix there, except for the player elimination.
I feel like it's pretty doable. All right, so we've got action programming and card drafting. So that seems those seem to work pretty well together. Some cards that would have actions to program on them. The player elimination is a new one in that genre. And theme is futuristic, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so I'm thinking we are in a future where, let's see, where cats have taken over the world. So it seems pretty likely with our current trajectory of cat videos, etc. Maybe we'll just spin it right into the whole kind of online cat video theme and go full bore on that one. Your goal in the game is to be the most watched cat video YouTube channel, and you eliminate other channels by getting more views than them in some regard.
Sounds interesting. So how does the action programming work?
Well, how does the action programming work? That's a great question. So you are basically trying to collect cats, right? So the cards would have different cats on them. And maybe there are cat cards and there are also cat movement cards. And so you're basically generating tableaus in front of you, let's say, that make up your videos. So you have to have a cat actor or actress. And then you have to play it along with cards that allow the cats to do different things. And so you're basically going to be scored in each of those tableaus or videos for how many views you get. This feels like some sort of mashup between like the networks and like Robo Rally.
Yeah, I think that can work. I mean, you have the programming element already there with making your programs.
Exactly. That must have been why I sort of jumped to that one. Also, this is, you guys are really evil for making me go first.
Well, you're the guest.
That's
you're
right.
The newer guest, I should say.
I'm the new, this is like a hazing or something.
Yeah, I have experience with this already, so.
So what about your constraint? You must use meeples.
Oh, must use meeples. Shoot. Well, I don't know if I know a game besides maybe Cat Stacks, which is more of a puzzle. That has cat meeples.
Actually, just saw that at Target today.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is the time for cat meeples, if there ever was one.
Exactly, yeah. So cat meeples, obviously. Maybe the cards are only programs and that you are actually drafting the cat meeples in some other way. And maybe it's a bag pulling. Can I add mechanics? I feel like there could be...
Yeah, you can add whatever you want as long as it has these minimums.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to have cat meeples. They're going to be different colors. And you'll be bag pulling to find what cat actors and actresses are going to be part of your cat films. So there's a little bit of a random element in there. And then when you're drafting those, or when you get those, you're using the cards from your hand to make the best video. So,
so there'd be some correlation between the color of cat you get and the cards you can use?
Yeah. So there are certain cat actions that can only be performed by certain types of cats.
Makes sense. They have to be specially trained.
And then I feel like there's a simultaneous... I mean, it could be simultaneous play. Maybe there's an opportunity for the cats to interact with one another in some ways when different players are revealing the program that they've put out in front of them.
Well, that's usually the fun of action programming is right, everything getting messed up as you go. Which, I mean, cats, that's exact. Maybe you're all making the same video and you each control a cat. So your interactions can ruin someone else's cat in that video.
Oh, I like that.
So how is it more futuristic? Do the cats have lasers?
Yeah, I think the setting... the setting and the artwork could help bring that out in the flavor text, but it's a great question. I think that some of the cat actions would have to do with futuristic, potentially. I don't know if this is a post-apocalyptic cat world, or I guess cats are taking over. Maybe it's just a cat network of cat TV.
But we still have internet for the cat videos, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe the cats are watching cat videos on the cat internet.
Makes perfect sense.
The cats have become self-aware.
That's what cats do now. I've seen the memes of cats watching cats. It's already started.
Oh, excellent. It's good. There's some strong thematic ties here. I like it.
Cool. So that sounds pretty good. You got the action programming, Tableau building, make cat shows. Anything else?
Yeah, I guess we didn't really address the card drafting part of it.
Or player elimination. How are you really eliminating the players?
It's true.
That's the victory. That's the only way to win, is to ruin all of the other cats.
Ooh. Well, I think I liked your idea where all of the cat... all of the players are contributing to the same cat video. And therefore, when your cat is somehow eliminated from... that. I mean, so all the cats in the cat videos are kind of little cat divas and they want to be the star of the show. And so your cat has to be the last cat standing in the video. And so I think the programming tasks would be, I'm thinking about laying out the tableau kind of one card after another, and you're each sort of selecting one. And maybe those are all pre-programmed and then they're sort of all revealed in a line, and then, you know, the domino effect happens and chaos ensues, and the person whose cat survives somehow through all of the chaos will be the winner, at least of each round. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, I think I was just going to say that I think doing player elimination as like a quick round by round thing, instead of like you're out of the game, wait 20 minutes while we finish, would be more palatable to the audience.
Exactly. Or maybe it's literally just a 5-minute game where you're...
just knock them out quick.
You just knock them out quick and there's one winner.
I think that would actually sell. I mean, right now, cat games are kind of picking up. You've got Cat Lady. What is it? Purlock Holmes. I think there's definitely... it's another cat game that just came out, I think.
So you would be a sure seller if you got the oatmeal to illustrate it.
Yeah, that also.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I'm sure that would tie right in with the oatmeal, so...
I think it's sort of been, you know, it's in Flatout Games wheelhouse too, because it's a short card based game. The Cat Meeples, custom Cat Meeples, it's gonna be a bigger challenge. But you know, I think,
well, that's the Kickstarter stretch goal. So you start with one mold, but every stretch goal is adding unique cats.
It's true.
Wasn't the Game Chapter going to be going into custom meeples at some point?
I don't know. Are they?
And that's what I heard on the grapevine.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I think there was an interview with JT not too long ago that went into a couple ideas like that that they were looking into.
I mean, if they did laser cut wood, I mean, that's not too far beyond what they're already doing.
They're already laser cutting the, custom laser cutting the punch outs. So the chipboard, which I make heavy use of.
I have not done any custom work with them yet. Someday, they will have my money.
It's so fun.
But the testing you have to do.
It's become so much easier with the SVG optimizer in Component Studio. Another reason to get that program.
Yeah, that's gotta be nice. So, Sean, you are done. I'd say that works, and you even got in your constraint, which the constraint was easier than the victory condition, so.
I think so, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Brian, you ready?
Nope, but we'll do it anyways.
Okay, that's what makes it fun. Your mechanics are secret roles. Your theme is harem and fog. Your victory condition is biggest reputation. And your constraint is can't use a board. You get all that?
Yeah, I think. Secret roles, one of my most hated mechanics. What was the theme, harem and fog? What is that?
That's two separate themes, harem and fog.
Harem and fog? Those are themes?
That's what they're listed under.
Sean had future. I had harem and fog. All right, here we go. A harem, okay. A foggy harem with secret roles, biggest reputation. How am I going to sew this all together? All right. And no board. So we got to use cards. No board, we got to use cards for our board. Or some type of make your own... Let's see, maybe you're conquering a city with the best harem, I guess, or something? We're getting into sketchy territory already. Fog could be fog of war, could it? Like, you don't know exactly what your opponents are doing, so maybe blind playing, so double-sided cards where you don't see... Am I stretching this fog theme a little bit?
You can stretch as much as you want.
Excellent. We're stretching it to the limit here. So we'll have cards that different players will play face down, and will be revealed via some other mechanic, I'm not sure, but that'll be like a fog of war, and you're trying to get the best... wait. Help me out with this harem thing. We're just concubines and all this other...
I will give you a new theme.
I need a mulligan on that one, yeah.
Okay, new theme. Princess.
Okay, fog and princess. With biggest reputation, no boards. Secret roles. So, alright. Secret roles. So, okay, so we're going to be building a board, and we're going to be trying to... with a princess. Fog and princess. This one's a bit tougher.
This is what you asked for.
So I'm thinking, let's do some type of... Alright, so the princess is going to be the queen at some point, right?
That's the goal, generally.
And you're going to be... Maybe there's another in-law. Maybe there are several princesses. How about that? There's several princes. Maybe two, maybe five. I don't know. And the different players around the table are going to be taking on secret roles where they're going to be supporting or opposing the different princesses in line to succeed the throne.
So the players aren't the princesses.
They are, yeah, correct. They are vying for or trying to promote a particular princess to the throne via, you know, different, you know... who knows, you know.
Political intrigue.
Yes, exactly. And that ties in with the reputation, right? So the princess who ends up with the best reputation is going to ascend to the throne. And the people who are secretly supporting that princess are the ones who actually win the game. We got no board, so I think we can fit that in. And we'll do that fog of war mechanic. So although we're not really actually having war, or maybe we will, who knows. Where cards would be played face down and then revealed later. So a little bit of a memory mechanic. And let's see, these will be either events or maybe you're building statues or different opulent structures to increase the reputation of the different princesses. And you play them face down so that you can... So you don't know exactly who is supporting what, and perhaps some mechanic where you're had the ability to switch around the card. So maybe you don't know, you know what your card is, and you put it down as a, not necessarily to increase your princess's reputation, but to be a poison pill to somebody else. Try to trick them to take it away from you because they don't know exactly what it is until, you know, they're, because of the fog of war, I guess, you know, the cards are all face down. So some type of trickery there, secret rules, trying to figure out exactly whose princess is, who is supporting what princess. And the princess with the biggest reputation, the most reputation points, wins the game. I don't know. That's I'm
sounds pretty solid. This, you know what this reminds me of?
Yeah,
Senatus.
Oh, really? I guess it does. Yeah.
I think you could retheme it with princesses, and you might be able to work this
out. I'm gonna get right on that, or I'll tell Concrete Kunda Games. Goodness.
I like it. I like it. I think it's what I immediately was thinking of is that, you know, you've got your fog of, it could be the fog of princesses, right? So they're all unknown over, you set out a grid of cards and then you're revealing, you're getting to see one and then maybe you're building. Have you guys played Topiary?
I have not, no.
No. I know a lot about it, but I haven't actually played it yet.
Yeah, so you're basically placing meeples around the edges of the grid to kind of claim different spots. But in a similar way, if you were, you know, deciding where your allegiances were going to be, if maybe it was a matter of revealing each of those different princesses' hidden identity, it's not really hidden role for the players, more just hidden information, I guess. But maybe the players each have one color of princess or one type of princess that they're trying to help.
Well, the mechanic is secret roles. It doesn't say players have secret roles.
There you go.
Nice twist, yeah.
This is going faster than I thought. We might actually be able to do two each. All right, now I have to do it myself, don't I?
You sure do.
I want to see it. I want you to get something really nice.
All right, so my mechanic is set collection. My themes are city and Hollywood, which go together nicely. Victory, longest connection, that works with set collection. And the constraint is add a backstabbing element. Okay, so you're in Hollywood. You're making movies. You're making TV. The city is LA because you're in Hollywood. Mechanic, set collections. So you have to, but the longest connection is the goal. Longest connection. Okay, so it's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. That's the game we're playing. Although it's not Kevin Bacon, because that would probably be an issue. So 6 degrees of some fictional actor that is also named after a breakfast meat. Sam Sausage. There you go.
There we go, Sam Sausage.
All right, so 6 degrees of Sam Sausage. Oh, that's good alliteration. This is going to sell. So our mechanic, set collection. So you are collecting movies and TV shows that Sam Sausage has been in because he has had an illustrious career. He's, I don't know, 120 years old, still making movies. So there's a huge deck of cards, all different movies he's been in with a bunch of different people. Although he can't be in all of them because that's not how it works. So he's in a lot of them. And there are other fake actors and actresses too. So you're trying to chain together cards. Instead of doing 6 degrees and trying to do it shortest, you're trying to get the longest chain. So
without a loop or something?
Without a loop, yeah, something. I mean, I guess you could just keep chaining. Maybe everything only has two people or two stars, so it has to be a starring role.
Or how about maybe it isn't just a star, but some quality of the different stars that might give you more options or more variability?
True.
You could also just do it as a speed game to be the first to get to 6 degrees, and then technically it would be the longest in the fastest amount of time.
That is a good way to get around that, yeah, and make it not a terribly drawn-out game of looking at matching cards. So yeah, connecting shows with people in them and trying to get to Sam Sausage the quickest. So maybe Sam Sausage is a very rare actor, and it's a lot harder to connect to him.
I feel like the shows could have... other actors and actresses, but then they could also have objects or other, like, other types of items that could also help you build those connections.
True, yeah, so you could just make links, so
breakfast links.
Exactly.
If you will,
every card would have multiple things that could connect to multiple other cards, so you have a lot of options every card you play, but you don't have that many cards in your hand, so but you'll have to play cards I'm basically saying this as I think it, so it's rough. But you have to play a card every turn or some number of cards every turn, and you're not knowing if you'll have connections for that card. And maybe other players can play off you in like a rummy style kind of thing. That might be tricky. So you have some mechanic where you get new shows, some sort of research thing.
Yeah, it would be interesting if you were just building a shared tableau. So the card that you put down is then used by all players.
Oh, so this is sounding like dominoes now, but dominoes is too easy. So maybe like four connections on each thing. So quad dominoes. Is that a thing? Quaminoes?
It is now.
There's a word for it. Or they could just all be polyominoes. Polyominoes are selling right now, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you lay out polyominoes that connect different. So bigger ones have more people in the show. So like a big movie would have a lot of squares to it. So that can give you a lot of connections. And you're building out this mind map of connections of shows and movies. And everyone has a single Sam Sausage tile in their hand. But it can only connect to certain other things. So they're trying to find a space to put that, while everyone else is trying to prevent them from that. It's kind of rough. I think it could work.
I like it.
I like it.
I like the theme. The mechanics are rough.
I think you scored big with the Hollywood and cities. That was
that was easy. It was not quite as hard as some other people had to deal with.
Well, if everybody had a different, if you just had a deck of different goal cards, like it wasn't always Sam Sausage, for instance, then you could have everybody's just trying to get 6 degrees between each of, like, between two of that particular person.
Yeah. Or just the longest, because longest connection is supposed victory.
Then you could do the... How do you get the backstab in there? You could do sabotage.
I was just sabotaging
saying that. Other people's lines.
You could erase movies from history because you're editing Wikipedia.
Ooh, I like it.
Not that anyone does that, no.
There's only official edits on Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm sure they're all very verified.
That was a lot quicker. Let's do one more.
Let's go for that round two. I need to redeem myself.
Sean, you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Okay.
All right. This will be an easier one, I'm sure. Let's see, you've got... Okay, this is interesting. So, mechanics, dice building, theme, squad, which you could take that in all sorts of ways, victory, most variety, and your constraint is each player needs to cooperate somehow. So it doesn't have to be a co-op game, but players need to cooperate somehow.
Oh, well, squads tend to cooperate, so that seems to work pretty well. You know what? I like co-op games quite a bit, so I think I'm just going to go full into the co-op, at least to see where this goes. I just have to think of what kind of a squad here.
So what exactly does it mean by dice building?
Well,
dice building games are dice games with a core mechanic that involves acquiring dice and adding them to your pool of dice to roll on next turns. So it's talking about pool building with dice, not dice building like Dice Forge. Although right. I guess you could use both.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So you're trying to build the best peewee football club. And so each die represents a different player, and the most variety wins. So that's an interesting end condition. Because I feel like you need to have
a victory. It's not necessarily the end condition. You could trigger the end some other way.
Ah, okay.
It could be that you need a certain variety of players represented by the dice to actually, you know, bring home the state title or whatever.
Yeah. You can't do 11 quarterbacks. It's not going to work. Someone has to catch.
Exactly. But then I feel like then you'd want there to be some dice rolling in there in terms of, once you have the right variety, then you can try for the champion. But I don't think that necessarily fits with the winning condition of having the most variety. So I might need to rethink that
a little bit.
Maybe
you have to win a variety of different championships.
Maybe. What are some other, variety?
Or you can change the theme.
It's true. But
there's lots of squads.
There are lots of squads.
It could be a dance squad.
Ooh, then you have the most variety of dance moves. That makes sense. I think I'm going to stick with the peewee football. And you are drafting players onto your team. But what you're rolling is, I guess, the different moves that are made to bring the ball up the field or something. And the greatest variety of those is going to be the most successful kind of play made. And so some of the players would, or some of the players' die faces have similar die faces. And so, you know, you have to decide, do I want to draft, you know, Jane over there because she's got, you know, three of this move and three of this other move, but then Tommy's got one of six different types of moves, so he's a really powerful die. And then your goal is to roll all your dice after you've collected your nine person football
squad? I think it's 11 on 11? Professional. I don't know what Pee-wee is.
NFL, yeah. Anyway, so
don't quote me.
say you go 11, and you have to draft up to 11 dice, but maybe you only have so many resources to get those dice, and the goal is the player who gets the most variety in their role. So if you have 11 unique different sides, which, you know, we'll have to make that slightly difficult to achieve, but then you would obviously win, or at least win the round or that sort of thing. So that's the pitch.
Works for me. There's not very many sports games and board games. Probably an untapped market if you can do it right.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it's the right thematic fit, but the mechanic of getting dice with different sides and then trying to roll variety, it still has that luck element, but you're still building up your dice building in a way that seems interesting, and people love dice, so.
Yeah, I do like that, trying to roll and not get matching sets. So, like, what's it, set building in Five Tribes, you're trying to get the most variety.
Yeah, it's like opposite of Yahtzee or whatever.
Pretty good. Okay. Brian, you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Hopefully this one is friendlier to you.
We'll see. You're laughing already. I'm not.
All right. So your mechanics.
I'm not feeling good about this.
It's better. So the mechanics are role-playing and commodity speculation. The theme is cadaver. The victory condition is last one standing. And your constraint is players can't interfere with each other.
So multiplayer solitaire.
Yeah. But also role-playing and commodity speculation and cadavers.
Well, that just goes hand in hand, don't they? Well, this is going to get a little bit morbid, but okay. So role-playing, I'm not a role player at all. But let's say, yeah, we're going to have a role-playing game where you are role-playing CEOs of cadaver companies that are, and there's a market, a commodities market for different body parts for medical study. I'm sure there's...
So let me step in here with a fact that might help you with this. Uh-oh. My wife works at a school, and they have a thing called a syndaver. It's a synthetic cadaver for medical students to work on. You can be less morbid if you want.
Okay, so we're going to... So it's a commodity market for synthetic, lab-produced, simulated body parts and organs. And... Well, gosh, if we're going to be doing last one standing, then we're all going to be trying to become the monopoly and buy out all the other players until there's only one. But we can't interfere with each other, so how do we do that? Can't interfere?
You have to do it entirely through commodity speculation.
But, see, can't interfere. Is that saying you can't interrupt somebody, can't... I mean, there's going to be interaction in a commodities market. Is that interacting?
Interacting is okay. You just can't interfere.
Can't interfere.
So you could work with someone. You just can't interfere. I don't know. Good luck.
You can't prevent them from doing something unless it is basically you've pushed the market for heart organs beyond their capacity, and then you can buy them out or something like that. That would meet the constraint?
Yeah, you can't directly affect it. But you could do something else that would cause them problems.
That's what we're going for. So if there was one thing I could get rid of here, it would be the role-playing part, because I don't know how you would actually make a marketable role-playing game about a organ commodities business. But I think we got something going here with, you know, we're setting up a market for different organs. The different organs have different values. And you are going to have this market where you're buying and selling and possibly even trading amongst the different players to try to corner the market to be the biggest and best cadaver, simulated cadaver company around, and eventually, one by one, buy off your competitors until there's only one fish left in the sea. Yeah, I like that.
Sounds pretty solid.
Questions, comments, thrown pottery?
Have you seen Repo, the Genetic Opera?
I have not. I see they show it every year at TotalCon, but no, I have not actually seen it.
It's actually pretty good.
Really?
But it's, have you set for seeing the movie Repo? Is it Repo? Repo Men? Can't remember. I think it has Jude Law in it.
I'm going to go with a no.
Anyway, so those two movies have the exact same theme. They're based on different short stories, and they came out at the same time. But the premise of both is that companies make synthetic organs that people buy, but then they go into horrible debt, and there's a whole repo for organs that has become a job, people going around and repossessing organs that weren't paid for.
And you were the one that was trying to lean us to be less morbid, huh?
People get to live longer.
I could see there being major potential in role-playing for this. I mean, come on. There's lots of drama that could happen.
Yeah, if the people playing also have the organs.
Is that why people play role-playing games or drama?
Depends on the games. There's a wide variety of role-playing games out there. Cool. Sounds pretty good as far as cadaver-themed games go.
Excellent work.
This website is rough.
Yeah, this is really only a skeleton of a game design for sure.
No pun intended.
I'm glad somebody got it.
All right, so let's see. Be nice to me, Board Gameizer. So I have... So the mechanic, pick up and deliver. That's nice. The theme is magicians and charity. Interesting mix. Victory is most surviving pieces. That doesn't sound like a very good charity. And the constraint is must be language independent. Okay, that's easy. I try to do everything language independent. So pick up and deliver. Magicians and charity. Magicians and charity. Magicians and charity. So there's magicians, obviously. Everyone's a magician. And there is a big charity event. There's a massive national, international magic charity event going on. And everyone has to deliver all of their magic pieces to the show. It's a big, complicated thing. Everyone has to get stuff there, but they're trying to get there fast. They've only got one night to get across the country to get to this show on time. So they are racing there in kind of a haphazard 80 days around the world kind of race thing where they're throwing all of their magic pieces onto trucks and hitchhiking with a sawbox and whatever else magicians use. And whoever gets the most pieces to the show wins. And there's no words on anything. It's all pictures of magic items.
Top hats, rabbit's feet.
Exactly. I think that works. So it's a dexterity game. There you go.
Nice. Are you flicking?
So they actually have different vehicles. And some vehicles are easier, but they move slower, etc. So you actually have to pile the vehicle with your magic items. And then I guess they don't call them magic items when you're a magician. That's a different thing. Anyway, they could be real magicians. This is fictional. So you have to pile them up on different vehicles. And then those vehicles have to be physically moved across the table to get to the spot. And it's on a timer, so you're talking like maybe 30 seconds to try and get as many pieces to the location on your vehicle.
And if they fall off?
They don't count. Victory is most surviving pieces, so the pieces on your vehicle are the only ones that survive. So if they fall off, they're gone. Or maybe someone can take their time and pick stuff up. Interesting. I don't know, I think just straight speed, so you're trying to get a pile of stuff maybe across the room. Maybe it doesn't even use a table. It's more of a... Like, what's that dancing eggs game where you're actually dancing around holding eggs?
We're getting further and further away from the realm of actual board games here.
Exactly. We don't need to. You don't even have a vehicle. You have a pile. So it's like large pieces of magic items. And you have to actually, let's do it with the kids game because kids have small arms. So you don't need as big of pieces. And they have to have like a pile of stuff. And they got to run across the room and deliver it to a bucket.
Parents are going to love this.
We'll make it a LARP.
All kids' games are LARPs.
Pretty much.
I like it. My
thoughts?
I like it a lot. My mind, when you first announced the constraints, my mind went to like a bunch of wizards that are sitting and trying to collect telephone pledges at like charity drive. Because that's kind of pick up and deliver, you know. You're delivering the money for the charity, but that's a whole other game.
That is a whole other game, but I think that would also work. All right, I think that does it for this. That was actually a lot of fun. Whether the games are any good, I don't know. We'll have to see in testing. But thank you both for joining me. Sean, where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you or follow you on the internet?
We are at Flat Out Games on Twitter, and that's pretty much where you'll find all of our content. We also have a podcast called Flat Out at the Table, so you can check that out. It's available on Google Play and on iTunes.
Cool. And Brian, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, at Scrapyard Armory, and also from time to time on the GameCrafter chat.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter, at BlueCubeBGS, and you can check out my blog at BlueCubeBoardGames.com.
That's all for this episode. You can find show notes for all episodes at TheBoardGameWorkshop.com. Follow the show on Twitter, at TheBGWorkshop, like the show on Facebook, and join the show's Facebook group to talk about episodes and game design. If you'd like to send in a question, you can email it to questions@theboardgameworkshop.com. Thanks for listening.